אני ראיתי כמה הם הלכו, יותר מדי מהם לא חזרו. חברים נפרדו, בתים נשברו, דמעות של משפחות נשפכו. ניצנים של אנשים, פרחים שלא יפרחו. התקווה בראשנו, אהבה בנפשנו, החלום ברוחנו, אז לעד נמשיך בדרכנו.
And it is 7 a.m. in the West Coast, and it is 10 a.m. in the East Coast, and it's 5 p.m. in Jerusalem. Today is Sunday, July 12, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we will be talking about the issues at hand and about the challenges that Israel is facing with the Iran deal. We're going to talk about what Greece is facing with almost a deal, and we are going to see, let you hear some Israeli music and some conversation, you know, about what is it to be really Israeli. Many people have the knowledge that being Jew and Israeli is the same thing. Well, not at all. It is it's quite different, and let's start with that. In the recent days, there were some comments about, you know, from a minister of in Israel that were talking about the differences between the stream of Judaism. It's the same routine in every religion. Every religion have different streams, and if you take one part of the religion, they will declare that it's the only way to go. So the majority of American Jewry are made from the Reform movement, and they got really, really upset. Not that they should, because nothing will change. You know, opinion is opinion, and they have the right to, you know, to reflect them, especially if they're holding the title. You know, you cannot be concerned, they say all the time to people that come to visit in Israel, to Israel. You could not come and tell us how to run a country when you are outside of the country. It's the Jewish state, obviously, but it's not something that you can maneuver. Well, since we all know how much, you know, activism is being made by American Jewry and how much hard work they are helping to make a tikkun olam. Tikkun olam is the fixing of the world. That's what we are trying to do here, is not just being for us and for only us. We are trying to convey the message of brotherhood of man to everybody. So once you get it, you understand that we are connected. It doesn't matter how you practice. It doesn't matter. You know, your children are our children. This is the children of the world. If you want to try to make a difference, let's say, between one and another, you would find yourself at the end alone, because people tend and love to be together. Now, in Israel, life is togetherness per se. It started with a kibbutz. The kibbutz is a movement that tried to settle the land. It's something that, you know, any country wants to start being a nation. We have all around people that can say that they dismantled the old regime, now they want to start again. And the example of how the Israeli, the Jewish people came to the land, became Israeli, and we have to understand that you cannot do it by yourself. So what do? You do a cluster of organized effort. You take the people, family together, you know, you organize the kids together, the workforce together, the load of challenges together, and then you create a movement of, you know, of understanding, and you share the burden. Once you start develop, you can expand yourself. Many people, you know, from Africa who come to ask Israel to grow food, because in Africa, it's really sad. They have all the blessing of the world, but for some reason they cannot run their life correctly. Or, you know, corruption and all, you can tell. But the truth of the matter is, what we are trying to do is, we try to go there, teach them how to create a little village or a kibbutz of some sort, that, you know, the difference between a village in Israel, a moshav, and a kibbutz is the difference between individual, you know, within a community or the community connected together. So it's really important to understand that we have to focus to collect all our effort when we are starting a new deal. And that starts with everything. And people don't realize that the collapse of the internet, you know, collapse of economy, is because we changed the rule, but we didn't come back to basic. Let's change the rule of how to engage. We stay with the same old-fashioned marketing strategy, and we started to have an economy that has, you know, a new horizon. So this is how people have to go about a new nation. For example, we have Libya that been forever, cluster of tribes. Those tribes are the forces. Now, in order for them to come together, they're working hard, but they might have to consider a new philosophy of joint ventures that they can achieve together. And by all means, if you start with a set of rules and regulation, you can start dividing and making it happen. And we need, you know, the American show up full pledge all those years. In the last, you know, decade, America was the, you know, the flag carrier of freedom. She made so much effort, and that's why I know that she's going to overcome, and the dollar is going to be strong again, because when you're kind to the world and God, of course, recognize this and will be kind to you. So we have to consider, you know, what's the difference between becoming, you know, a part of an organized thing and being alone. And that's what my comment was, you know, when you come to the land of Israel, you're a Jew, but when you grow on it, you become an Israeli. Two different entities, two different people, two different set of rules. That's why the Israeli, every time that the Jews outside said, tell them what to do, they get upset. If they come to the land, you know, carry the duty, and then you talk to us. So I'm sure you all get the point. And I want you to listen to some more music that I picked. I hope that you like the subliminal, you know, the hope that I gave you as a starter. Let's see what we have next. All right, who loves you more than I? That's the question of that song. Who loves you more than I? It's a song for the land of Israel, Arkady Duki. It's an incredible, talented man that played very well, but we cannot hear all the song because we have so much to share with you. I got Sylvan Shalom at the Jewish News in the UK. I would like you to hear him.
It's now time for our keynote speaker, Israel's Interior Minister, Israel's Vice Prime Minister, to welcome to the stage Mr. Sylvan Shalom.
Since we took power once again, about a month ago, were described in the world media as a very extreme new government. But I think it's very far from the reality. In Israel, we're having a prime minister that said more than once that he's willing to solve the problem and to achieve a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians. We decided only a short time ago, a few days ago, to cancel roadblocks, to cancel checkpoints, to give them more easy movement during the month of the Ramadan. And we are doing so because we believe that confidence building measures are very, very important. So if you would like to move forward, you should understand one important and major thing. Every agreement, every solution to the conflict can be achieved only through negotiations.
And we are back, and it was Minister Sylvain Shalom in the United Kingdom. The deal was really simple, you know. Maybe it's hard to understand with Israeli action in the way. It's always a problem. I hope you understand me. But what we have to recognize, that in he said something, that whatever we go forward to make some kind of a deal, like they're sitting now and making a deal with Iran, making a deal with Greece, any Palestinian that wants been calling upon agreement, it has to be, it cannot be unilaterally. It must be based upon negotiation and upon an agreement between two parties. The fact that they want to do that all by themselves make you think that they want to just cancel the Jewish state. And we have to remind you all, the Jewish state is here for staying. She's going to last because it's the will of God. And what we are here to do is to bring light upon nation to what needs to be done and how things are going to work indifferent. We have expertise, obviously, and God bless us with a lot of talent. And what we have to do is help connect and share. You know, all the rest of the world is talented. Sometimes, you know, you just need the connector. And maybe that's the role that God bestowed upon us. We are in a little land, small amount of people. Makes sense to be, you know, a connector. I really hope that you'll take the time to think about how much Israel had to go through. And my Israeli friends that maybe enjoy the music can tell you. And when they are outside, in, you know, Israeli or not, they feel the responsibility of understanding and helping. So by all means, go ahead and ask them. But just remember, you know, they are very sensitive to what you're saying. The love. Are we able to get another song now? Maybe.
מאין יבוא עזרי עזרי מאימא שעושה שמיים וארץ אל ייתן למות רגליך.
All right, Shir LaMa'alot is the song of ascent. It's from the Psalms of David. It's to keep you safe. It's God guards you day and night. So don't worry. Just remember, this is a song for everybody to be blessed and protected. We need it with all this news and, you know, on alerts and everything and, you know, deals and no deals. We need that prayers in our heart to get over. So I needed it to be in Hebrew because it's the holy language. Let's get to Mr. Bennett, the education minister of Israel. Let's see.
President Obama coming out and saying, you know, look at, to Scott Walker, who's running for president, most likely. He needs to bone up on foreign policy. If a president makes a deal, another president shouldn't come in and renege on it. At this point, the United States has given its word. It's going to do everything it can to push this deal forward. Why isn't that the right thing to do?
Well, first of all, the deal is not finished. And the deal, as we see it, is worse than the worst case scenario that we had anticipated. This is a bad deal that doesn't destroy one centrifuge, doesn't shut down one underground facility, and basically paves the way for Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon. But when they're free, you know, they've got all their economy up and running, it just doesn't make sense. And you know what? It's not too late to fix it.
So one of the things to quote-unquote fix it that you have supported, that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has supported, is say that any deal with Iran must include Iran recognizing Israel's right to exist as a fundamental premise of the deal. President Obama says, forget about it. Here's exactly how he put it.
The notion that we would condition Iran not getting nuclear weapons in a verifiable deal on Iran recognizing Israel is really akin to saying that we won't sign a deal unless the nature of the Iranian regime completely transforms. And that is, I think, a fundamental misjudgment.
Naftali, what do you say to that? Is Prime Minister Netanyahu fundamentally misjudging this situation, asking for something that is impossible just for the sake of it?
No, this is very possible. First of all, I just want to point out, you know, Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, recently published a document that says, what is the proper way of eliminating Israel? This is the leader of Iran coming out with a document talking about eliminating and destroying Israel. And all we're asking is to do away with this. You can't go sign a deal with someone who explicitly says he wants to destroy us. Now, it is possible to achieve a good deal. Here's what you need to do. Just keep the sanctions. You don't need to change anything. Just wait. For the past 2 years, the crippling sanctions in banking and finance have succeeded in bringing Iran to the table. If you don't let up now, sooner or later, within a year or 3 years, they're going to be up at a point where their economy just cannot sustain these sanctions, and they'll have to give up on their nuclear weapon program, and that's what we want. So, and it is possible.
So what I want to ask you, though, is when Prime Minister Netanyahu says a fundamental tenet of the deal should be recognition of Israel, a lot of people watching say, well, that makes complete sense. If Iran says they want to eliminate Israel, they should have to take that back as part of the deal. But the former Mossad chief himself, Ephraim Halevi, actually agrees with President Obama. In an op-ed today, which I know you saw, Naftali, but let me read it for our viewers, he wrote, clearly, Iran is not going to change its spots. Therefore, anyone who voices such a demand is signaling that he doesn't want the agreement and has his eyes on an aggressive solution. That's a pretty direct slap in the face to Prime Minister Netanyahu and to the point of view that you just were explaining. I mean, that's the former chief of the Mossad saying asking for the recognition of Israel makes no sense.
Yeah, I think a Mossad leader 15 years ago, you know, right now we have a prime minister who is responsible for the security of the only Jewish state that we have. And we have to defend ourselves. You know, it's Passover now, and just a few days ago, all Jews read a sentence, Bechol dor vador omdim aleinu lechaloteinu. In every generation, there's someone who wants to annihilate the Jewish people. The Egyptians, ancient Egyptians and Greeks and Romans, Nazis, and now it's Iran who explicitly wants to eliminate us. We will persevere. We will win. But here's what we need to do to avoid a war. We need to insist on not giving them the oxygen to go ahead and you know, pave their way to a bomb. Mm-hmm. I think President Obama himself said that when the time is out, the breakout time will be zero when this deal is over in about 10 years. My daughter, Abigail, is going to be 15 years old. This is nothing in the time of a nation. So what we're doing effectively, this bad deal legitimizes and paves the way for Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon. I don't see why it doesn't make sense to insist on them not wanting to eliminate Israel, not wanting to destroy my country, and in fact doing away with that and dismantling their nuclear weapon program. If they want nuclear energy, fine, but not weaponize it. That's all we're asking here. I don't think it's an unreasonable request.
All right. Thanks very much to you, Naftali Bennett. I appreciate that.
All right. That was Naftali Bennett. Very smart man, Minister of Education, very moderate. You know, people try to put him in the extreme, but he's really moderate. He's really a guy that fought a lot, even signed the deal to, you know, to make a conversion for Judaism easier. So he's not extreme. But what he's saying, you know, it's not about Iran recognition of Israel. Israel is here. You know, it's not about they saying what they care. They don't like us, so much, so be it. But the fact that they might have a nuclear weapon create a situation that they might involve the whole region again in a war. And you guys all know that if there will be a war, there will be a world war. So it will be America in the middle. It will be Russian in the middle. Great Britain will be in the middle, Turks will be in the middle, everyone will be there. So the point is not for them to be arrogant and cocky like they are, and the message that they're sending today, you know, this Minister Bennett's interview was in Passover a few months ago, but it's still onto the dot, nothing changed. And what we're trying to see today is what's going to happen. And meanwhile, you know, everybody is really frantic about the nuke deal. You know, we have Dory Gould, former ambassador to UN, that is saying that nuke deal will encourage Iranian terror, foreign ministry chief of staff says. We know for a fact that they have bad intentions. Now, what's their intentions? Let's say, you know, sometimes people have bad intention, but they don't have the power to do so. So we don't care. It's like, so what? But if you think about what Iran is doing, they're holding America busy with this deal that's never been enough. They never agree on anything, and then they said we're going to have a precautions point that if any of those points of reference will be undermined by Iran, America and the rest of the G5 can be have the right to act, making it dangerous for them to act. So they will build a committee of sorts. So the Iranian today decided that they're going to be on that committee. It's like giving them the key to their future, which it's a little odd, you know, because when you inspect somebody, you don't put one of them in the inspection team. If you have a judge, you don't put in the judge, you know, in the jury, you don't put one of them. So it's not about being, you know, complicated. It's about knowing it right. You know, we need to make sense. If we don't make sense, we are going to have to deal with it again. So in that committee, Iran cannot be. Israel should be on that committee. She has to. For some reason, she's neglected and not because of her, you know, dimension. Well, if you take away more land from us, we'll be, you know, midget land. It's really ridiculous. So for me right now, I think that Israel should take responsibility over the area, which is not controlled by any power right now. Sustain, you know, put, establish those manufacturing the good livelihood of people and keep them going. I find myself doing it for so many groups that sometimes they come like, you know, like tribes, like Indians, which I love. And they come and said, okay, we make noise, they beat up their drums, let's organize. Okay, so you need to make them organize and do a thing. But through the run, you need to cut the weapon, nuclear weapon. You have to cut it to make them amenable. Then you have to force them to the wall, by no means to the wall, and tell them you need to stop giving Hezbollah power to destroy. You are not going to support any activity of a terror organization around Yemen, Libya, Syria. You know, you have to back off, because if we cut a deal with a power that wants to be all powerful in the region, what kind of agreement? They think they have us. They would think that they make the game, you know, the play of their life. They get America off their case for some time now. Nobody's gonna come annoy them again. And then they're going to keep on making their terror threat. They're going to infiltrate with those boogeymen that, you know, it's like a Disneyland for horror that they created in the region. And then they're going to take over, you know, the Iraqi oil, the Libyan oil, whatever they can put their hands on. So I think that it's not about nuke anymore. It's about their role. I would put my pressure on them big time from a place where they didn't expect it. And, you know, the coalitions of the world power needs to really settle and make it happen. Maybe tomorrow we can have some comments about it. We don't know. So this is the Hebrew time in music, and it's more like a prayer for the world. So Sunday, everywhere, it's morning in the West Coast, and we're praying. We're praying with you that the world will be better tomorrow for all our youngsters and our loved ones, and all the ill will be well, and God will send them recovery fast. It'll be nice. Let's have some music.
זה עוד יום שישי, נושם את האוויר, האור והצל משחקים שוב תופסת. השולחן ערוך, תמונות ילדות על הקיר, שיירות לבנות חוזרות מבית כנסת. והריח הזה שזורק לי את הלב, מתגנב, מתגנב, ופותח דלתות.
Oh, wow. That was incredible. That's a little present, little gift. Rami Kleinstein is one of the most talented, you know, accomplished singers and composer in Israel. And his gift to the world is a little gift. It seems he talks about those gifts of faith, a gift that brings together, you know, when you see people going to the synagogue, or, you know, like you Sunday morning, you see people going, you know, white church to church, makes your heart tremble, because it reminds you that there is something incredible in the air, and there is, you know, faith. So those little gifts that gives to this incredible singer, which I love, I respect, and I love his evolution, how he turns and grows. But they never sing in English. It's hard for anybody who doesn't understand language to understand, and if you try, it's not the same. So That's what we're going to do with it. But let's listen to Rabbi Sacks, the chief rabbi, the former chief rabbi of England, which is incredible, savvy, can I say dude? Savvy rabbi who knows something or two about life.
It is fascinating that as a people, we have a 4,000-year history, but tragically, all too little of that has been lived in freedom and sovereignty in our land. Three times in history, the Jewish people went into exile. Once in the days of the biblical Joseph, a second time after the destruction of the first temple and the Babylonian exile, third time after the Roman conquest of Jerusalem and the longest exile any people has ever suffered, almost 2,000 years. Look at those exiles. They are the three critical moments in Jewish history. And each time, the cause of exile was identical, a failure of Jews to live peaceably together. Exile 1, Joseph. The Bible tells us in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 37, Vayisna'u oto lo yachlo dabro l'shalom. The brothers hated Joseph and couldn't speak peaceably to him. The result, they plotted to kill him. Eventually, they sold him into slavery, and the result is the entire Jewish people was sold into slavery in Egypt. Exile 1. Exile 2. Destruction of the first temple. Well, biblical Israel, the Israel of the kings, was remarkably short-lived. There were only three generations of kings who ruled Israel as a united nation: Saul, David, Solomon. After the death of Solomon, the kingdom divided into two: 10 tribes of Israel in the north, the 2 tribes of Judah in the south. Divided, the Jewish people could not stand. It always has been a tiny people surrounded by large empires, and it needed an extraordinary degree of unity to survive at all. So when, in the days of Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and Jeroboam, the rebel, it divided into two, the end was inevitable, however long it took. And so in 722, BCE, the northern kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians, its population transported and vanished into oblivion, known as the Lost Ten Tribes. And inevitably, the southern kingdom, a tiny kingdom, fell in turn to the Babylonians. It was that inability to live together as one nation that led to the destruction of the first temple. In the second temple, one would have thought that Jews had learned the lesson of history. But if anything, the divisions were even worse. Josephus tells us they were divided into three groups: Essenes, Sadducees, Pharisees. Even within the camp of the Pharisees, we know that they were divided between the school of Hillel and the school of Shammai, that at one point threatened to split apart, and in the words of the rabbis, Naseh Torah l'shtei Torot. The whole of Judaism was in danger of splitting into two Judaisms, and that is within the Pharisee camp alone. We know that even among the political options, there were the accommodationists and the moderates, the doves, and there were the zealots, and the zealots themselves were internally divided. And according to Josephus, who was an eyewitness of the siege of Jerusalem under Vespasian and Titus, the Jews within the besieged city were more intent on killing one another than on fighting the enemy outside. As the Talmud says, Jerusalem was destroyed because of sinat chinam, baseless hatred. That is the understatement of all time. Three times Jews were unable to live peaceably together, and three times our people went into exile. Divisions are written into Jewish history. And think of this. Almost every great world power has in its time attempted to destroy the Jewish people. the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the medieval empires of Christianity and Islam, all the way to the 20th century, the Third Reich and the Soviet Union. Every one of those empires, which seemed invincible in its day, which bestrode the narrow world like a colossus, every one of those has disappeared into the pages of history to live only in museums. And this one tiny nation can still say, Am Yisrael Chai. There is only one nation in the world capable of threatening the future of the Jewish people, and it is the Jewish people.
Wow. Well, that was Jonathan Sacks, our incredible rabbi in the world. He comes to visit sometimes to America, and if you guys want to listen to a philosopher, a man that understands all religions and can talk about the comparison and everything, is the man for enlightenment. You know, if you want to take some people for the next round, you know, that we all are facing now, the next round, you should put Rabbi Sacks in that list, because he's definitely one to take with you. Now, let's listen to some music so we can keep on praying for this incredible deal that they're going to sign in Switzerland today. Oh my God, this is the Gevatron. It's a mix of Subliminal, that is a rapper with 50 years old concert players and singers, the Gevatron. It's a classical, and then mix it. So I wanted you to all to hear it about the state of Israel. Obviously, it's how young and unchangeable and how incredible she is. Israel is a land to visit, guys, and now we can say that Jerusalem is on the list, on the top 10 list to come to visit. So make an effort, and if you have any question, call me, I'll help you. Jerusalem worth visiting, like the Dead Sea is worth visiting, and everything around here is so special that you live in the history, so bear with me a little. Sometimes it sounds difficult, but Israel is a land to flourish. Now, we are running out of time again, and it's our, you know, Sunday show, and it was kind of a prayer show, and we're going to end up with a prayer that says, you know, I'm little before God. Whatever He gave me is a lot of goodness and grace, and we are thankful for that. So we're going to end up with that, but I want to salute you and tell you that tomorrow I'm going to be here at, 1 hour ahead. It will be 8 p.m. Israeli time, and it will be probably 1 p.m. East Coast and 10 a.m. in the West Coast. So it's like 3 hours ahead from this time today. So join me tomorrow. Let's talk about what bill they cut today and how Greece is pulling it off. Champions. Hey, they invented the Olympics, so they will overcome this. So God bless you all. I miss you all with my heart until tomorrow. And let's pray for the goodness of the world to come together and help us overcome all this. Thank you all for listening. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio. Bye-bye.